Good morning, everyone.
Yesterday, we do a spinning class, and then right after this, that body pump, and the previous day, we did body pump too. Man, oh man, and my muscles were like unbelievably sore, and we were spinning, and when we were halfway through the spinning, I said to myself, I can't say to Jay, okay, let's rather go home. This is a man's pride is now here on it, here on the game, and the word prison came in my mind. And while we were cycling, God began to talk a bit to me about prisoner, and I got this huge revelation, and I will share it with you now. While we were cycling yesterday, and before I begin to share the word with you. I just want to share with you a little bit about my ministry. If you want to know more about my ministry, you can go to gracecovenant.ca, not .com, .ca. CA stands for Canada. I'm living in Canada. I made it here. I'm living in Canada, and I'm a full-time traveling the body of Christ in the body of Christ and preach the message of God's love and grace and faith. I planted churches for about 28 years living in South Africa, and at the age of 42, God called me to come to North America. And then since 2014, God began to open up doors that I begin to minister more in the United States. Last year, September, I begin to travel full-time. So I gave my church to the previous church that we pastored to the assistant pastor, and now I'm traveling full-time, and I'm just minister, and I really enjoy it, and I travel, and I see a lot of people, meet a lot of people, go to different churches, and I see all kinds of things happening, all kinds of things that is amazing, and it's just wonderful. I love the people of the United States. I believe that God got an awesome plan with this country, what's happening right now with what we are preaching. How many of you know that every human being on the face of this earth really, really need the message of grace? Amen. And I'm not talking about grace in the sense of just another little prayer, as Greg says tonight, or your girlfriend at school, her name was Grace. That's not what I'm talking about. Grace is actually the person of Jesus Christ. The Bible says grace, and the law was given by Moses, and grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. People got faith while he was on the earth just by looking at him, by just seeing the demonstration of grace coming out of him. So faith just happened with people. That's why so many signs, wonders, and miracles and healings took place, because he was the ultimate expression and manifestation of grace. Isn't that awesome? And my heart's desire is that the body of Christ, that we all in the body of Christ, come to that place that we are an absolute expression of God's grace and the manifestation of it. And this grace is not something that is separate from love. Grace is coming out of love. The Bible says, as Greg have quoted this morning, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So God actually gave grace because of his love. And the love of God is so enormous. It's you can't work it out of your mind. You can't just you can't try to get it. It's something that is birthed in you through the Holy Spirit, because it's out of this dimension. It's not really. It's not in the worldly system. You can't find it yet. It's really coming through Christ. And once you found that love that is in God, that is what's changed everything in you. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 2, it says, now that you've tasted that the Lord is good, coming to him, when you begin to experience how good God is, then you are drawn to him. And it's God is really after us all the time. And when you are in the worst of the worst that you can ever be, that you say to yourself, can I go any lower than this? Then God is still with you, still loving you, still pulling you out, still helping you. And that's how amazing he is. Isn't that wonderful? And there was a time in our lives that we had absolutely a wrong concept of who he is. I had a complete wrong concept of who God is. I just felt like God was only tolerating me. I always felt like I'm the black sheep in God's family. How many of you understand what that means? Thank you for your enthusiasm. You may sit down now. So this morning. Amen. Are you ready for something good? I'm ready for it, man. I'm making a study of some stuff, and people is just amazing. I'm looking at people all the time, and I see people, and there's not a person on this earth that don't have potential, that don't have some treasure in them. All of you sitting here today got treasure in you. Some of you didn't even find it yet. Some of you didn't even discover the treasure that is in you. And God wants you to see that. If you look for diamonds in South Africa, there's a lot of people who dig diamonds. If you look for diamonds, you don't look for the dirt, you look for the diamonds. You don't focus on the dirt. Your eyes is all the time on where's the diamonds, can I see the diamonds? And if we look at people, you're not supposed to look at the dirt, you're supposed to look at what's the treasure in this person. Isn't that true? And you have, the Bible says that we have this treasure in us, in this earthen vessel. And each one of us got treasure in us. That treasure is the riches of His glory, which is the view and opinion of God. And God wants to express that through us to every human being that's on the earth. God wants the body of Christ is not a place where you come for rules and regulations and another principle and another tool. The body of Christ is really a place where the love, this treasure that is in us, expresses. It flows over to one another. Fruit is not just something that me and you can do. It is a natural manifestation of the life of Christ that's in us. Amen. And you got something that I don't have. You got something that I need. I got something that you need. That's what the body of Christ is all about. The ecclesia, the called out ones. And this morning, the first thing that I want to share with you quickly before I share the word, can I do that? Is that revelation that I had yesterday. Maybe Greg preached on it. Sometimes I'm a little bit behind and I catch up with stuff that other people already have. I would say, hey man, I have this amazing revelation. And then I share it with him. Everybody look at me as like, oh, okay, he's a little bit behind. And then they all already got it, you know. So I got this. Listen to what he say in Ephesians 4. I just want to go quickly through it from verse 1. It's not part of my message, but he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Have you ever meditate on that? He says, the prisoner of the Lord. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. He says, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all. I love that. And through all. Isn't that beautiful? And in you all. Say, in us all. Wow. And then he say, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and he gave gifts to men. So I just want to say this to you this morning. I work in a jail for 7 years. And when people are locked up for life because of some crime, when they are closed in or incarcerated, as they call it, he is completely separated from a life that he had. He's now completely locked down. Say lockdown. He can't get out. Even if he get out, he's not going to have freedom still. If he escaped from that, he's still not going to have freedom. And here's what this passage, I every time I read that, the prisoner of the Lord, it sounds so negative. How many of you agree with me? It really sounds negative. But you know what it really means? Is that Paul says, I am a prisoner to the Lord. Then he say, I am free. I have been incarcerated. I have been imprisoned by into grace away from the law. Some of you didn't get that. Because he talk about grace here in this passage. And he says, when he ascended on high, if someone did something wrong, they captivate that person. He led captivity captive. He captivated us. He captive us. And then he gave gifts to men. So Paul says, I'm sorry, but I can't function in my own ability anymore. I'm in grace now. And everything that is happening through me is by the gifts of God, is by the gift of Christ that is in me. You guys get it? Are you still with me? So I'm a prisoner of the Lord. It's the same as being a slave to righteousness. That was also to me negative. A slave to righteousness. Come on. If you're religious, you would say, oh my gosh, I'm a slave to righteousness. I have to do righteous things. No, it means that now you are not a slave to the life of sin anymore, which have controlled you. You are now a slave of righteousness. Even if you do destructive things in your life, you are still a slave to righteousness. You can't get away from that righteousness that Jesus has given to you as a free gift. Are you still with me? I'm a slave to that. That means even if I do something wrong, I still have the righteousness of Jesus. I'm as righteous as Jesus is right now. And many people misunderstood what sin is. They think sin is destructive living, but sin is not destructive living. I'm going to explain that a little bit later. All right? We're going to look at that. Are you still happy? What I want to talk today about is, you guys got that little piece of my sermon? Okay, I want to talk today about the flow of grace and what holds it back. For me, it's really important in the body of Christ, just as I said, read that passage where he say that he gave gifts to men and that each one of us have received a measure of grace. That doesn't mean that you have less than me or something. It means that when the whole body of Christ come together, when we function together, each one of us have something to give. Each one of us have something to minister to one another. Amen. There is this morning, as we sit here, here is people who have healing, who can heal someone else. Here's people who can prophesy. Here's people who have a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. Still with me? All those kind of things is in the body of Christ. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom is within. And now we have gathered, and this is the kingdom of God now here this morning. And it can manifest here in this place from one another to one another. And you have to learn that in the body of Christ, you are not just there to, we will keep on teaching the word of God. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. We will keep on teaching the word of God. We can't get away from that because out in the world, there is all kinds of things that is coming against you and all kinds of things that is happening with people. And when we gather together, there is people who minister the word of grace to us so that we can keep on hearing the truth and our hearts can stay steadfast in this truth. But you are not just made to hear. There is a purpose in preaching the gospel. Jesus did not come to start another church. He did not come to begin a new religion. That was not his purpose. He came to reveal God in man. That's the main purpose why Jesus came to the earth. To reveal God in man. That is so amazing. If you think of that. And if we can get that you understand that the reason why I am here is that I come to the full measure of understanding of Christ in me. That I come to that reality of the perfect man that is in Christ, free of a sin conscience, functioning in righteousness as a free gift, functioning in the love of God. But there's a purpose in it that I carry the life and the resurrection power of God in me, that if I put my hands on you under the old covenant, if you are defiled and you touch me, I'm defiled. Now, if I touch you, it's righteousness touching you. If I touch you, it's the very life of God touch you. That's why Jesus say, go lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He didn't really say pray. He said, just lay hands on them. Sometimes we pray long prayers that is not even relevant. And just put your hand on the person. Man, there's life going from you to them. You impart stuff to them. You got to begin to believe that that which is in you is bigger than that or greater than that which is in the world. You are some human being, man. I don't like the word human. You are some spiritual being. The kingdom of God have arrived. You know, that doesn't mean we are not going to have trouble in life. That doesn't mean things is not going to come against us and stuff. Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Where is Christ now? In us. So things happen with us. Sicknesses, you woke up one morning, you can't understand, you have a snotty nose. Where did that come from? You still with me? Or you got a pain like you're my age, you know, I got a pain here. Where did this pain come from? You know, it's like... And then I go to the doctor. He says, oh, no, don't worry. How old are you? Over 50? Oh, no, that's just wear and tear. Just, you know, it's like, oh, okay. You know, things happen with us. You know, you don't get a phone call on Monday and people say to you, hey, listen, we want to tell you that Friday all hell is going to burst loose. You're going to be in trouble. How many of you know that trouble is like a surprise? There's no warning signs. It just happened. And Jesus says, don't be moved by this because it's so important that you function in peace. We're going to talk about this morning because we want grace to keep on flowing. We want God's ability. Grace is God's ability in me. It's Christ's ability in me. Keep on flowing. We want that to keep on flowing. Amen. So what I want to read to you this morning is, if you turn in your Bibles in Hebrews 13:9, you all know that verse so well. Hebrews 13:9 says, do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. How many of you agree with me that there is lots of strange doctrines going around? And it's doctrines that is not really, really established people in who they are in Christ. It is always some kind of principle or rule. I listen to some people and they're like, wow, he got it, man. The sermon is good. Yes, we're going here now. The guy got it. And then the last quarter of his sermon, when he began to run out of stuff that he have learned now, then suddenly the beliefs of his heart begin to kick in. And then suddenly the guy begin to talk about rules and principles and regulations and requirements and stuff. And then mess it completely up because you are not made or designed to function in God's kingdom by rules and principles. You are designed to let the life of God flow from you. You see, when the Holy Spirit, you were the DIY man. When Adam ate from that tree, the DIY man was created. That means the do-it-yourself man. That's the DIY man, do-it-yourself. So the Holy Spirit found you in Home Depot walking around in the shelves. This is where he found you. And he take your coveralls off and your hard hat and your boots and your tool belt and he lead you right out of the Home Depot into the garden center and he introduce you to the tree of life. That's how you've been saved. But the problem with us is we go in our minds back to the tool section. When trouble come, then we go back to the tool section and can I get another tool here that will help me? Can you give me a plan here and all the tools to fix this problem that I have? How many of you, listen, 99.9% of you sitting here this morning have some situation that's impossible. Whether it's finances or relationship or something going on in your body, you have some situation that is impossible to change in your own ability. And there's no tool and no plan for it. You got to rely on the grace of God. And that's what we do. And God says, stay in the garden, eat from the tree. Keep on eating from the tree. And that tree will even give you wisdom. Because sometimes God wants you to do things, but those things that you do is forced or is empowered by the wisdom that he give you and the knowledge that he give you and he empower you with that. Hallelujah. Sometimes with sicknesses, God can say, change your diet. Stop eating only burgers. You know? Stop eating only one, you know? I love a hamburger, man. I told, one day they caught this guys in South Africa, we have carte blanche. I don't know if you guys got carte blanche, but it's a people who secretly put cameras and they caught people with stuff. McDonald's in South Africa, I tell you, it's horrific. Well, they caught them with secret cameras were there. You would come in and then if they don't like your face, they would open the burger and spit in the hamburger. And all kinds of things. And it was all on carte blanche, man. It was a horrible thing. And I said to my friend, man, I will never buy a hamburger at McDonald's again. He says, brother, I don't care if they even spit in it. I still like it. I'm going to eat it. I tell you right now. So here's what I want to say to you. We eat wrong, but sometimes God just say, change your diet. Just bring your body back to normal, you know. Amen. I was bigger than this. How many of you remember? They put the photo on of me where I'm so big, you know, but Greg says he liked the photo. It's like, I was like that guy who stand there in New Orleans, like, you know, but I was bigger than this. And you know what was my problem? 10 o'clock in the evening when I lie down and do nothing anymore, I eat the one chocolate bar and ice cream and all kinds of stuff. And then I go and sleep with that whole load on top of me in my stomach. How many of you know? We go for dinner and movies, And we eat a big plate of food, and then we get into the movies, and there's a big Coke and popcorn and chocolates and everything. That's just our lifestyle. And you can't live like that. So God said, change your diet sometimes. I'm on a different track here. Okay. Anyway, I'm on a rabbit track. But the Bible said that your heart be established by grace. Now, yes, first of all, I want to say that some of you do know this, but the first thing I want to say to you is people have a misunderstanding when it comes to heart. They think the heart and the spirit is the same thing. It's not. If the heart and the spirit were, how many of you agree with me that your spirit is absolutely perfect? Because it's created in the image of Jesus Christ. So if the heart is and your spirit is the same thing, how can it be that the heart can be deceived? Your spirit is not deceived. The Bible says your heart is deceived. The Bible says your heart is evil above all sometimes. And there's many scriptures. So that made me confused that how can it be possible that my spirit is perfect and then I believe the heart and the spirit is the same thing. How can it be possible that it can be deceived too? And then God told me, begin to study it. And the first thing that I saw in the Bible is the word a heart is cardia. It exists of two words. Car means center and source of your life. That's what car means in the Greek. And dia means to act from. So it's the center and the source where you act from. And if you study it, it is where all your beliefs and emotions and thoughts comes together. Say, come together. And you automatically act from there. What you believe in there, you're going to do. It's just going to happen. That's why the Bible says, as he think in his heart, so is he. You still with me? So the thoughts of the heart can control you. The thoughts of the heart is what's directing your life. That's why some people would say, I will never do that thing again. How many of you have been there? I will never do that again. And then they just do it again. And they say, how did I do it again? I end up here again. Can I tell you why? Deep down in your subconscious, there's a belief in your heart. You are programmed to do certain things, and you do it over and over and over again, and you can't understand it. That's why some people can't get free of certain addictions, because it is so part of their being, inner core, that they just do it again and again and again. Okay, are you still with me? So the heart, the Bible say, with the heart we believe. So with the heart, you can either believe positive or negative. So he say, with the heart, we believe unto righteousness. Now, I'm just laying a foundation here. Say to the person next to you, it's going to get better. So with the heart, you believe unto righteousness. Okay? Are you still with me? But with the heart, you can also believe unto condemnation. With the heart, you can also believe unto all kinds of negative stuff in this. With the heart, you believe. So the spirit man is created in you, and the Bible says that this new covenant that God make with us in Hebrews 10, he says in Hebrews 10, Hebrews 8, he say, this is the covenant that I will make with you. And then he say, I will write my laws on your heart. Listen to what he say in Hebrews chapter 8. He says, I will write my laws on your heart and put it in your mind. But in chapter 10, he turned it around. In chapter 10, he say, now the Holy Spirit witness. Because the Holy Spirit put it in the right perspective. And he say here, I will put it in your heart, write it in your mind. In chapter 8, he quote the old covenant, because in the old covenant, God write it on the heart of stone. Are you still with me? And then put it in the mind. So here we are now different, and the Holy Spirit put it in your heart. So how many of you agree with me that the Holy Spirit is dwelling inside of you? Now I want to quote this verse just to help you, and we lay a foundation here that you understand, just to help you. Ephesians 3 from verse 14 says this, and I quote it out of the Amplified Bible. He says, may he grant you out of the rich treasures of his glory. I love that. Glory is the view and opinion of God. He said, out of the rich treasures of his glory. How many of you know that treasure is valuable? And so the glory of God shows the value that God has placed upon you. Woo! Say, I'm a valuable person. See, God have placed value upon you, and that value is so amazing that how many of you know that the value of something is the price that you paid for it? Like a very expensive a painting. Like if you have a Picasso, the value of that thing is the highest bid that they have made on that painting. Jesus paid the ultimate price for you. The highest price ever by giving his everything and his whole life. So there's value upon you. So he said, out of the riches of his glory. So glory is the view and opinion of God. So the view and opinion of God have for of you is the value of the place. So now you listen to what he say. May he grant you out of the rich treasures of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man. Say inner man. By the Holy Spirit himself. So the Holy Spirit take, Jesus say, when the Holy Spirit come, he will take what belongs to me and make it known to you. He will glorify me. So Christ is living in me, and the Holy Spirit take that which belongs to Jesus, which is in you, and he make it known to you. So he bring to your heart value. He say to you, you would see the Holy Spirit will always contradict you. When you say, I'm such a miserable person, then he will say to you, sorry, you are righteous. He will always contradict you. See, he don't convict you of sin. He have convict the world of sin because they do not believe in Jesus Christ. But he convicts you of righteousness. You can say, I'm such a fearful, worrisome person. He said, I got peace for you. You can have it for free. He will always contradict you. If you say, I'm always a loser. No, you're a winner. If you can just hear his voice, that's why he say in Hebrews 3, today if you can hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And most times people's hearts are so hardened that they don't hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to help you today. Amen. That you come to that place that you have healthy thoughts all the time. Yeah. Amen. Thank you for your enthusiasm. You may sit down now. So where were we? So yes, the point that I want to make is that in the inner man, by the Holy Spirit himself, indwelling your innermost being. Now listen to this, what he say. The next statement is very important. So that Christ, who is Christ, the anointed one, the one that gives you ability, so that Christ may dwell in your heart. Say heart. So heart and inner man is two different things. And the Holy Spirit is dwelling in your innermost being, but your heart is the core of your being where your soul and your emotions and your spirit come together in the spirit man. It's the very thing, the very force that automatically guide you in life. And what he does is, so the Holy Spirit put it in your heart and he write it on your mind. Man, I make a study of renewing of the mind and I discover that I cannot even renew my mind. Because if I try to renew my mind, then it's still a work, then it's still a labor from my side. But a renewing of the mind is the revelation of the Holy Spirit writing it on my mind. I listen to people teaching on renewing of the mind and it's a bunch of principles that you have to try to get into your mind. There's no life, there's no power in it. See, if the Holy Spirit writes something on my mind, I'm addictive to that thought. Some of you didn't get that. You become addictive to good thoughts. You become addictive to positive thinking. You're just addictive to it. You become a prisoner to it, like I said to you this morning. You can't get out of it. Don't you think it's awesome if you are a prisoner to positive thinking? That you can stand up in the morning and say, God, can you just help me to think for one moment negative? Because some of you are standing up in the morning and say, if I can just think positive today. But imagine you were in that place. See, Jesus is such an amazing man. I look at him. I want to function like that. He was never at fear. Only when he went to the cross, things changed. But he was absolutely in peace. Absolutely guided by the Spirit, resting in his Father, hearing the Father's voice, see what the Father do. Jesus is the ultimate model, and he said, you can do it. He says, you can have that same lifestyle. You just need to change your beliefs. And even I cannot change my beliefs because sometimes I would battle with things and then I ask the Holy Spirit to help me because Jesus says, I will send you a helper. Some of you try so hard. Stop trying and say, Holy Spirit, help me. Then the Holy Spirit say, Father, what a wonderful day. We can help him. Finally. Finally, he came to his senses. You're too strong, man. You're not designed to be so strong. You're just full of fear and worries and trouble and stress. You're still with me. Now, the next verse. Now it's going to get some serious here. Hebrews 3, verse 15. He says, or is it 12? I think it's 12. 12, excuse me. He says there, beware, brethren. He's speaking to believers. Okay, believers who wants to fall back into the Jewish culture and the Jewish rituals and stuff. He said, beware, brethren, lest any of you have an evil heart of unbelief, departing from the living God. How do they depart from the living God? The living God is inside of us, through us, in us. Are you with me? You can depart from God. You can live in this life with the life of Christ inside of you, separated from Him because of the beliefs of your heart. Now, that word evil in the Greek is poneros. It is not something bad that they do. Poneros means, and this is where you have to begin to listen very careful to me. Evil means labors, toiling, annoyances and hardships. So it means, as you think in his heart, he says, beware that your heart become programmed, that you always think you have to labor and toil to get God's acceptance, that you have to perform to get God's acceptance. That's what that word means, evil. It's not the person who cuss and swear. Well, cuss and swear can be part of it. Are you with me? But I've seen some wonderful people whose hearts is established in grace, and they hit their finger with a hammer and they come really serious words out of their mouths. But they still have Christ in them. Are you with me? Some of you are too holy, man. It's like, is that possible? And you say, evil heart of unbelief. So your heart can be established in grace. That means it rests. Or your heart can think and believe that it has to function, and you have to function in self-effort. You know what self-effort means? Self-effort means to improve what Jesus has already perfected. Okay, some of you didn't get it. Let's say it again. Self-effort means to try to improve what Jesus has already perfected. The Bible says we have been perfected by one offering. Come on now. And you try to improve it with your good works. It doesn't work that way. So that's the two kinds of hearts that you have. And that word evil is all over the Bible. And you are either programmed to perform for acceptance, or you are programmed to perform for acceptance with people or with God. The whole world lies under this. Now, I want to give you some scriptures just to show you how many times this word is in the Bible. Can we do that? The first one I want to give you is 1 John 5:19. He says here, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. That word wicked is in the Greek also poneros. So we say the whole world lies under the sway of toiling and performing. The world system functions like that. How many of you know you got to perform to get somewhere in life? Now, listen to me. Don't understand me wrong. If you work at Walmart and you show up tomorrow morning and you tell that people, listen, Jesus says, I'm not going to work today. I must sit and rest, and he's going to bless me. Before 12, you are fired. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about, don't allow this world system to rule your heart. Yes, you go to work. Yes, you study at university. Yes, you study to improve yourself. Yes, you can progress in your work. You can progress for increase in salary and increase. But let it be God's favor. Let it come naturally because of the gift that is flowing through you. Many people sit in a dead-end job and they hate what they do. And it's not really the passion of their heart. And some of you sit here and you are designed and created different by God to do different things that is really passionate. Some people are plumbers and they are crazy about it and they love to do it. And they stand so deep in the poop every day working and they just love it. I hate it. I don't want to do that. Are you with me? I love preaching. I can preach from morning till noon the whole day. It doesn't make me tired. Are you with me? Some people like to do surgery, cut people open and work inside them and stuff and sew them back up again. They love that. This is not for me. Are you with me? Some of you sit here, you didn't even discover the treasures that God have put in you and the passion that he have put in you, and you are doing something that you basically hate. God have not designed you like that. So what I'm talking here about is that God say it doesn't matter how you go through this life, what you do through this life. I want to guide you with your spirit, with my spirit, and I want you to be sensitive to my voice, and I don't want your heart to think that it must labor and toil, because if it think that way, then it means the world system have now taken root in your heart and it dominates the voice of God in you. It dominates the void, the flow of God's grace in you. Especially when it comes in the kingdom. I have to so many times, the Bible say labor for rest. That word labor in the Greek is also translated wrong. It actually means hasten to be in rest. So I have to be quick when these things come, when trouble come, and it's overwhelming us, we begin to think of a plan how to get out of it, and we try to take it in our own hands. Are you guys still with me here? We all want to do that. We try to take it in our own hands, and then I have to decide, whoa, and go quick back into grace, quick back into Christ, in who I am in Christ, and rest in that and say, okay, God, you're going to lead me through it. You're going to guide me by your Spirit. You're going to give me wisdom. I'm going to hear your voice in this. I love this. The next verse I want to give you, I just want to show you how important this is. This is, and I'm going to try to go very fast now. 1 John 2 verse 14 says, I have written to you fathers because you know him who is from the beginning. I've written to you young men. He classifies three kinds of people in the body of Christ, the children, the young men, and the fathers. And then he classified us, and he says, I've written to you young men because you are strong and the word of God abides you and you have overcome the wicked one. That word wicked again is poneros. It means that they have overcome the reality in their heart. They are not driven by labors and self-effort and toiling and performance anymore. They have overcome that now. They are in the rest of God. They rest in grace. See, people say they think they need to overcome the devil. I got news for you. Jesus has overcome the devil 2,000 years ago for you. The devil is defeated. People fight the devil continuously, and that's not even your fight. Your fight is to keep the law of Moses out of your heart. The fight is to keep labor and toiling, which happened at the garden where Adam ate from that tree. The foundation of the world was laid in that moment, which is toiling and labor. He fall out of the quality of God's life. He fall out of the rest of God in that moment. And the whole world lie under the sway of that now. And God say, I don't want you to understand that you are not from the kingdom of darkness. You are from the kingdom of the Son of my love. I've transferred you and I want my kingdom to rule in your heart. See, so what we need to overcome is not the devil. What you need to overcome is every thought that is so deep in your core that I got to perform for acceptance. Your heart is not designed for that. Your heart is designed for rest. The next verse I want to give you, he say it here several times. 1 John 3:12. He talk about Cain and Abel here. He say that Cain was from the wicked one, and he say Abel's works was righteous. Cain did the same thing. He came before God with his labors. And God rejected that. God said, it doesn't function that way in my kingdom. And Abel come, not with what he have labored. See, Cain labored from the field and work and toil in the field, and he brought to God what he have produced from his labor. Abel not. Abel says, yes, look, that sheep, he just pop out a little lamb. I'm going to give that to God. Which is a type of Jesus. He did nothing. I don't have time to teach her all that stuff. 1 John 5:18. I love this one. 1 John 5:18 says, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin. How many of you have read that and say, that's impossible. I sin. See, people don't know what sin is. He said, they does not sin, but he who has been born of God keep himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. There it's again, the word wicked is poneros. It means that this whole system of the world does not touch you. Oh, I love this. What does sin mean? Sin means to miss the mark. Okay? Sin means not to believe. Because the Bible says whatever is not of faith in Romans 14, 23, whatever is not of faith is sin. The Holy Spirit, when he comes, John 69, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of sin because they do not believe. So to sin is not to believe. Believe in what? To not believe in the quality of God's life which is in Christ. So to sin means to separate yourself from the quality of God's life. How many of you know that Adam was functioning in the quality of God's life? Adam wasn't sitting under a tree smoking pot and God said, okay, now you're done, you're out of here. Some of you didn't get that. Him and Eve didn't get drunk and God said, okay, no, he ate from the tree that produces and changes his belief system that he fall out of resting in the quality of God's life and he fall into toiling and laboring. So that's what sin is. Sin is not destructive living. Destructive living is the result or the fruit of you functioning independent of God's quality of life. So what we have done in the church is we preach to the fruits instead of the root. We try to get the rotten fruit of the tree. And it's so ridiculous. I remember if you could do in the olden days, if you can pass the five, big five, you got it, man. If you don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't sleep around. You, what's the other two? I can't even remember what's the other two. Don't swear, and then there's one more. Anyway, if you can do those five, or don't, you don't divorce. If you can do that five, man, you're going to heaven. So we try so hard to avoid that five. And we continuously fail because our hearts got annoyed and frustrated with the laboring. So I need some relief somewhere. And you become a closet drinker. You go to church Sunday, but Friday night you and your wife is drunk in the basement. Like my one pastor friend, he made his own beer because he can't go to the liquor store and buy beer. Some of the members, if they see him, it's a big. So he make his own beer in the basement. And Fridays he announced it in his church. Friday, nobody come to my house and bother me because the two of them are drunk in the basement. It's the honest truth. I mean, after 3-4 funerals in a week and a wedding and all the people's trouble, he need to go and drink, man. I'm telling you, are you with me? Because he's in the law. He's under the law. Oh, man. The church have made even sin of some certain things is not sin. Here's the good one. Here is the best one. How many of you come out of a warfare background? Oh, man, we fight devils. I even cast devils out of my cat and my dog. I had my cat and I look him in the eyes. And I hold him like this, and I say, every demon spirit in Jesus' name, come out! Because I believe devils come into them, and then they bring havoc in my house. If something go wrong, oh, there must be a devil in the cat or the dog. We need to clean them out. It's the honest truth. Isn't that pathetic? Confused, darkened in our minds, living in absolute error. Poor cat is innocent. But listen to this one, Ephesians 6. Did you know that there's no one place in the New Covenant God say you have to fight the devil or you have to do warfare? There's not one place that he say do it. Because the devil is defeated. He say fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life. That's a different ball game. Fight the good fight of faith. It's not a bad fight. It means that I lay hold of good, which is eternal life continuously. I don't allow that laboring and toiling come into my system. I don't allow that self-effort come into my system. I rest in Christ and Christ in me and we just function together. Now listen to this. Above all, taking the shield of faith, say above all, with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. That word wicked in the Greek is poneros. Don't, he says, with your faith resist any form of teaching, doctrine, or worldly principle coming to you that wants to put you in laboring, self-effort, and toiling. It's not the devil. Principalities and powers. It's not demons. Thank you for enthusiasm. I don't have time to teach that, Greg. I have to teach that. Here's what Jesus say. Did you know that Jesus even know that you're going to mess up tomorrow? He knows everything. He's not even, you don't even care about it. He knows everything that go wrong. He's not majoring, functioning on it. He said to Peter, you know what, Peter, before the cock crow, sorry, man, you're going to deny me 3 times. Peter says, no ways. Jesus knew it's going to come. He said, that's not ever happened. But he didn't stop there. He said to him, Peter, but let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. That's what he said to Peter. He said, Peter, I know you're going to mess up. But hey, let not your heart, don't let what you do trouble your heart. See, some of you sit here, when you mess up, it begins to trouble your heart. You say, oh, I've messed up now. And your heart becomes troubled. Your heart is not designed to be in trouble, to be troublesome, to be fearful, and to worry. Your heart is not. Your heart is designed for peace. Are you with me? And if you think some Christians are more focusing on what they do wrong in the flesh and the stuff that they... I don't even think of that. Sometimes people would say, you just sinned. Really? What did I do? I'm not even thinking that way anymore. In the past, I would major on that stuff. For most people, it's all about behavior modification. Behavior, behavior, behavior. Come on. Be yourself. Rest, relax. Find out who God says you are. Amen. Who cares what other people think of you? You know? John 14:27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives you, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. He says, don't let it be. I am giving you my peace. See, all self-improved courses out there that you go to, and all religions promise peace, but not one of them can produce. Only Jesus can. And Jesus says, I give it to you. You're still with me? John 16:33, Jesus says, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation or trouble, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Another translation says, take heart, I have overcome the world. You are not designed to, in your heart, have the thought of, I have to perform. Why? Your heart needs to rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. What he has already done. There's nothing that you can do. You need to understand it is done. It's already done for you. You just need the revelation in your heart. Thank you, Lord. Now, let's go to this stuff. What I want to show you now. Because of Adam's toiling, when that the foundation of the world, the Bible said that Jesus was sacrificed from off the foundation of the world. We have been purified and made holy before the foundation of the world. That's not before God created stuff. That's when the foundation of the world was laid. When he ate from that tree of knowledge of good and evil, then the foundation was laid. All right. So many people think that the first thing that happened to Adam, they think that the first emotion, the first thing that he experienced was fear. He did not experience fear first. The first thing that he experienced, that Adam experienced, was condemnation. Because Romans 5:16 says that through the offense, condemnation came. I want to read to you one verse here, just one that I have put out there concerning it. Where did I put it? I really need to read it to you now, because I want to take it from here and just show it to you. Where is it now? Oh, here it is, right in front of me. He says, therefore, as through one man's offense, how many of you know that's Adam? Judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Adam was first condemned. I'm naked, I'm condemned. I will explain to you what condemnation means. He was first condemned, and then fear came. Everything, listen to me very careful now, everything comes from condemnation. Every depression, fear of rejection, all those things is rooted in condemnation. If you can come free of condemnation, you will be free of all that stuff. Because that's the root. All those things will fall off from you. It's like a root that you pull out, and all the things fall off that is on it. But condemnation came because his belief system changed. Suddenly, he was separated from the quality of God's life. And now I have to toil and perform. So I have to live up to a standard. And suddenly he realized he cannot. So he's condemned. You still with me? All right. Now, condemnation, this is what it means. Very simple. Go and check it. You can Google it. Lately, the young people are different. Then I would tell them something, and then they go and Google me, and they come back and say, no, Pastor, you were wrong. Really? Yeah, we can show you. We Google you. So they Google you. Anyway, so I Google it, and the word condemnation means, the word con means to believe something, and in most cases, to be deceived. How many of you know that if you are conned, you are deceived? Damnation, the word damnation means to expect punishment or to be punished. When damnation comes over you, you are punished. So condemnation means to be deceived into punishment. So Adam, immediately at that moment when that happened, he think, I'm going to be punished now. I deserve to be punished. That's what happened with him. So it's so horrible. It's a horrible thing in the core of man. Why do I preach this? I go to churches where people have just a theory of grace. They just have a theory of grace, and they don't understand, and they still struggle with things in their lives, and they don't know that condemnation is the root of all that stuff. They have not in reality take hold of righteousness as a free gift. And their heart believe, they don't believe fully unto righteousness. They're still condemned in certain areas. How many of you know that the Bible says in 1 John 3, beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence through God. You know how many Christians I meet that have no confidence? Where does that come from? Their heart is condemned for some reason. And they hear grace over and over and over. Jesus was an absolute bold man. Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes, you will be bold. Why? Because he's going to kill condemnation in you. He's going to root it out, burn it away. And you're going to be free of it. Now listen to this. I want to read to you something here and test yourself. And I got this from another lady. Her name is Trisha Gunn. I just see it in a book of her, and I thought this was really cool. How condemnation thoughts. Can I read to you? And I want you to judge yourself. Okay. Listen to this. First one. I mishandled my money. I deserve to be poor. That's condemnation thought. Condemnation say you deserve to be punished. You deserve to be poor. You deserve not to be blessed. That's thoughts of condemnation. I mishandled my money. Can I tell you something? Even how many of you have mishandled your money in the past? Okay, three of you, God bless you, the other. We think that when we do those mistakes now, I deserve not to be blessed financially. God's grace is not on that level. Jesus, the Father says, my thoughts is not your thoughts. My ways are not your thoughts. As high as the heavens is above the earth, so high is my thoughts and my ways above yours. You can't think like God. Let me tell you how God think. Man think I have to do something. God think I just want to give and give and give and give. That's God. Okay, some of you didn't believe that, so because there was no response. Men think I must do. God say, no, you don't have to do. I just give. So here's the first one. I mishandle my money. I deserve to be poor. I committed adultery. Therefore, I deserve to lose my marriage. I was critical and demanding on my children. So I deserve to be estranged from them. It's condemning thoughts. I mistreated my body. I deserve to be sick. You know, I don't know. I don't care if for the last 3 months you just ate hamburgers. And you are now sick. Can I tell you something? God's grace have the power to bring you out of that and heal you. Or whatever. Maybe you drink like 15 bottles of whiskey in the last 2 days and your liver is right now telling you, I'm done. You're done. See, what I love of the story of I'm not telling you to go and drink whiskey. Please don't. Just, I'm not giving you a license for anything. Some people hear that. Oh, I can't listen to this grace, guys. What's that guy who wrote the gospel, the Ragamuffin Gospel? What's his name? Brandon Manning. They tell the story that, I don't know if he told it, but he was fall out of ministry, and he was like a bum on the streets. And he was crossing the road. He bought a bottle, some bottle of the whiskey or vodka or something to go and drink. And he didn't know that he had alcohol poison in his body. And he crossed the street. And as he fell down in the middle of the road, he realized this is not good. He collapses. And he was down and out, this man. And as he lay there, the Holy Spirit speak to him. And you know what the Holy Spirit say to him? Brandon, we. He didn't say you. He said, Brandon, we are going to make it. Didn't say, Brandon, you're going to make it. The Holy Spirit speak to him right there. Brandon, we are going to make it. And that man found grace after that. He didn't have the full gospel of it, you know, from his background and stuff. But he had an awesome, deep relationship with Jesus Christ and the Father after that. And he traveled all over the world and teaching, and his whole life was restored. I want to tell you guys, it doesn't matter where you are and what you have done in this life. God's grace, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. It doesn't matter how far you have separated you yourself from the quality of God's life. God's grace is there to restore you back to the quality of God's life. You still with me? Okay, let's read the next one that I think is important. I cheated at my work. I deserve to be fired. Some of you are silent now. Anyway, I was promiscuous while I was a youth, so I deserve to be barren. I was an alcoholic, so I deserve to lose everything. I betrayed my friend, so I deserve to be friendless. I'm ugly, grumpy, angry, and I'm just imperfect, so I deserve to be rejected. Oh man, some of you are silent now. I turned my back on God, so I deserve for Him to turn His back on me. See, that's all condemnation thoughts. And if you have those thoughts, you're either going to rest in God and say, God, I give up. See, grace is when I come to myself and I give myself to the mercy and the grace of God. I give myself. I say, God, I give up with my plans and my performances. I can't do this. But I right now trust in your unfailing love and the ability of your grace that's going to help me and guide me through this. Change the beliefs and the thoughts of my heart, please. Amen. Now, many people think, and I want to go back to this just to show you how it works, and then I'm going to give you good news. Can I do that? Because I need to give you this. I want you to turn with me to Romans 4:14 and 15, so that I can just show you how it works in your system if your heart is programmed wrong. Can I do that? How many of you know that we didn't grow up in a Jewish system? Okay, although most of us grew up in a religious background, 90% of us sitting here today. Okay, but so we say that the Gentiles, but we are in fact, we are Gentiles and pagans. That's what we are. We are not born in a Jewish family. So we are Gentiles and pagans. Okay, so we say, well, the law was not given to Gentiles and pagans. No, I'm sorry. I'm going to give you scripture that we are under the law. Okay, let me read it to you. Listen to what Paul say. Verse 14, Romans 2. For when the Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things of the law. Say by nature. By nature do the things of the law. Isn't that incredible? They never had the law. Nobody teach them the law, but by nature. Where did that come from? It comes from Adam. The first man who ate from that tree and the principle of the whole world was laid. Okay, let's go on here. Although not having the law, are a law to themselves who show the work of the law written in their hearts. So the law is written on every human being on the face of this earth. The law of Moses, or the basic principle of the world. You must do, if you are bad, you are to be punished. If you are good, you will be blessed. It's written on their hearts. We have to perform. We have to function in self-effort. It's written on every human being's heart. Okay? Now let's go on here. And then he say, now listen to this. Their conscience, say conscience, also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing them, or else excusing them. Oh man, isn't that incredible? That's how it works. If your heart is established in I have to function in self-effort, I have to perform, then your conscience will, or your conscience will witness to your thoughts and giving you thoughts, witness to you, telling you, you're accusing you. How does it accuse you? You don't deserve to be blessed. You didn't deserve to have a good family relationships. You didn't deserve to have a good marriage. You don't deserve to live in full health. That's accusing you. Because it says to you, you come short and you fall short of the standard and the blessing that God demands from man. Are you guys still with me? Isn't that horrible? Do you know how many people sit in the body of Christ and they think it's the devil attacking them, and they think it's the devil accusing them, and in fact it's their own heart accusing them? The Bible say, beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. But the wonderful news is the verse before that says, beloved, if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. Because God can change your heart. God can today change the belief system of your heart. in this moment. And you can begin to function in the Spirit and the kingdom of God because you are destined to reign. You are destined to reign in this life. We are all destined to reign. Reign over destructive lifestyles. The reign over sickness. Reign over bad relationships. I hear so many Christians tell me, they did this to me, but you know what? I love them and I forgive them and I still walk with them. That's incredible. That's the kingdom in action. On the end of the day, you're going to win because you don't carry anything of this kingdom of darkness in your heart. Amen? Now listen to this. I love this. Turn with me quickly to Colossians 2, 13 and 15. Now it's going to get good. Say, get good. Verse 13 to 15. And you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, he made alive. Say, I'm alive. Together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Say, I'm forgiven. Having wiped out. Now listen to this. The handwriting and requirements that was against us, that was contrary to us, and has taken it out of the way and have nailed it to the cross. What handwriting and requirements did Jesus take out of the way that was contrary to us? The world system, the toiling, the law of Moses. Are you with me? So if I have that requirements in my heart, listen to what the Bible say. It is against you. It is contrary to you. So if I have that beliefs in my heart, it's against me. It's contrary to me. And it messes me up. And it's accusing me all the time, telling me I'm not good enough. Guess what God say? You are good enough. God have placed value upon you. The riches of his glory he have placed inside of you. You are some special treasure, man. Amen. Amen. Listen to this. And then he go, having disarmed principalities and power, have made a public spectacle of them triumphing over them. That's not really the devil. He triumphed over this whole worldly law system that is controlling human beings, which is principalities and powers. And Jesus came and he took that. He became the document that hang on the cross. He nailed it to the cross. He died. He killed it. Say he killed it. He killed it. He took it out of the way. He took it to the grave. He rose from the dead. One new man that is free of the world system, that is free of toiling and performing. And the Bible say, as he is, so we are in this world. Amen. We have been created in his image. We are not part of that system. That's why people who are full of Christ, and people whose hearts is programmed in righteousness, people think we're crazy. Am I right or am I wrong? Here's what I want to say to you. So your heart can be condemned and then it accuses you with thoughts that is from your conscience, your subconscious is now accusing you. But if your heart is established in righteousness, in absolute innocence, say I'm innocent. In absolute innocence, it has thoughts that is not accusing you. It doesn't matter what the circumstances is, the thoughts from your heart is, you've already overcome that thing. This thing is temporary, it's passing. Are you with me? This thing, it did not come to stay in my life. This thing is passing. The kingdom of God is in you. You are righteous. It will say to you, you qualify for all the promises of God. So when the trouble comes, you don't say, oh God, I'm done and over. I don't deserve to be blessed. No, the thought from your heart is now established in grace. So the thought from your heart that is coming to your mind say, hey, you have qualified to overcome this thing. You are not designed to be under this thing. You are already above this thing. It doesn't matter how hard it screams. How many of you know that when you have pain in your body, it screams, it talks it loud. But in the midst of that, you can rest in Christ. I love what Jay said this morning, or someone said, I think Jay and Cindy said it this morning, that when you have pain in your body, it's just crying for help. That's all. It's just crying for help. So you bring it in subjection to grace and the thoughts of grace. Amen? Are you still positive? So Jesus took that, he nailed it to the cross, he take it out of the way. Oh man, Christians is more conscious of their wrongdoings than any other thing. Don't you think it is awesome that you can be conscious of innocence? Don't you think it's awesome that me and you can walk every day and it doesn't matter what happened, what we do wrong, we are still, no, hey, I'm innocent, man. How many of you know that Christians don't woke up in the morning and say, today I'm going to be bad. Today I'm going to mess up, man. Today I'm going to show the world how you really sin, man. Not one Christian do that. If you do that, there's something wrong with you. You know, we don't do that. But it still happens. It happened with people. So how are you going to overcome destructive living? Simple, change the beliefs. Believe that you are righteous. Believe that God made you righteous. Not that you're going to become righteous. You are already righteous. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. So if you think you're righteous, that's how you're going to function. Ah, come on. If you think that you are prosperous and all favor is upon your life and all favor come to you, that's how you think. Guess what? That's how it's going to flow out. That's how things is going to happen with you. It's all about you. See, grace, the grace is stopped when you have a wrong conclusion of who God is and who you are in God. But grace keep on flowing if you have an absolute understanding and you've concluded in your heart that God loves me unconditionally. I'm his child. I'm his son. There's value upon my life. So I'm busy changing your beliefs here. I'm encouraging you. And even if you still struggle walking out here and you still have that thought of I don't deserve, guess what? I want to send you home with this thought. The Holy Spirit is with you and just please ask him help me. That I can change my beliefs. Guess what? He will. The biggest thing that ever hit my life was the day when I understand I'm absolutely innocent. Innocence is so powerful, man. I said, a friend of mine, he invited me to at this company on 12 o'clock every day. They have lunch at this company. It's a big buffet. And he said to me, come and join me for buffet for the buffet at my job. So I went there and I was early and I said, and wait, it was about like 20 minutes before 12, I was there, and I sat and wait, and here comes this big guy walking in, and he said to the chef, hey man, I'm hungry, can I have something to eat? And the chef said, no, you can't. He says, why not? I'm hungry. He says, no, 12, the rule is 12 o'clock. The guy says, serious? Are you serious? Everything is ready, can I please? The chef said, the rule is, I didn't make the rule, the company made the rule, come back 12 o'clock. The guy was really upset, left. 5 minutes later, here comes this little boy walking in, 5 or 6 years age. He said, I want to eat something. He began to open stuff, and he began to help himself, and the chef ran around, hey, buddy, how are you doing? Can I help you? You want fruit? You want the yogurt? Just anything else you want? Here's some dessert. And I sit there, and I said, God, what's the difference here? This big guy is not allowed to get anything. This little boy, yes, sure, help yourself. He didn't even know who the boy was. He asked, what's your name? The little boy introduced himself to this guy. And I sit there and God said, that's how innocence works. You can't say no to someone who's innocent. But that other guy's under the rule and under the regulation. He worked there. You get it? Because the whole system is, if you've subjected to the whole, I'm telling you, I've messed up big time even when I didn't know Jesus. And I can look today back and see how the grace of God have taken me through it. Because some of that stuff I didn't really plan. It just happened. You know. And then even after I was saved, I messed up. And I just call on God's grace and he just bring me out of it. And he helped me and deliver me and set me free. Amen. Let me give you some scriptures to close down here. We have to root this thing out. See, we can't put confidence in the flesh. What does it mean to put confidence in the flesh? Flesh is not the wrong things that you do. Flesh is just basically to live independent of God. Flesh is just doing things on your own strength and own steam and own ability. Amen? Listen to this verse. I want to read it to you. 1 John 4:9-10 says, in this is the love of God manifested towards us. Say, towards us. That God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Say, live through him. In this is love. Not that we love God. Come on, people. We didn't love him. You can try to. You know, even in religious days, I tried to love God. I wasn't sure. I was like, I thought love was all the good things that I do for God. And God rejected those good things that I was doing. And then he says, But that he loved us and, now listen to this, and sent his son to be a perpetuation for our sins. Love is defined in forgiveness. Much forgiven, much love. If you understand, if you come to the deep revelation of how much God has forgiven you, your love will, the love of God will so explode in your heart because you will come to the conclusion and the understanding. See, many people think, see, if you think God's forgiveness stopped the moment that you make a mistake and God's love stopped the moment that you make a mistake, you don't have an understanding of forgiveness. God's forgiveness and love never stop. It doesn't matter how you mess up. He loves you. The Bible says he loves us while we were sinners. Christ died for us. How much more now? You are valuable. You are being forgiven for eternity. God will never ever have a thing against you. See, if your heart is programmed with that, that's the first thing that you need to believe in your heart. Say believe. Or trust the Holy Spirit to bring that into your heart. Because the more you look into the grace of God, faith just happens with your heart. Amen. That's the first thing. If you lay that foundation, then condemnation is killed. Because righteousness is the opposite of condemnation. The Bible said that the ministry of condemnation had glory. Much more the ministry of righteousness will increase in glory. So righteousness is an opposite of condemnation. When me and you understand that we are absolutely being declared innocent through the blood of Jesus Christ once for all. See, it's something that you need to believe in your heart. It kills condemnation. See, the onslaught on your life is to bring you back into performance so that condemnation can rule in you and reign your life. But where, now I love this verse. This is my favorite verse, Romans 5:17. Those who receive, say receive, the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, they will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. That verse actually goes this way in the Greek. It says, those who receive the abundance of grace through the gift of righteousness. So if your heart is established in righteousness, that you understand it's a gift freely given from God that you can't work for God have made you righteous, and your heart rests in that, the abundance of grace begin to flow. And you begin to reign in life. Come on. Means you can be in the midst of the storm, you can be at peace. And people think you're crazy. You got to do something. No, I rest. God didn't give me any green light. The light is red. I wait. I'm almost done. In him we have the redemption. Ephesians 1:7. In him we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. Not according to your works. Not according to what you can do. In him we have the redemption, the forgiveness of sin, according to his grace. According to what he has done. Not what you can do. It's a free gift. See, it's not the good news anymore if I tell you you are forgiven, but if you sin, you have to confess your sins. Come on, man. I don't have time to teach 1 John 1:9. Gregory can do that. He got teachings on that. Come on, I can't go there now. Are you with me? But that's not good news. Good news is I'm forgiven for it. The word euangelion in the Greek actually means too good to be true news. It's too way out in your mind. Can it be possible that someone can still love me even if I cuss at him? Do you know you can today stand up and cuss at God and he will still love you? Like my friend Arthur Manges. Arthur was ready to kill himself. That's the honest truth as a pastor. He was sitting in his office with his gun. He's going to shoot himself now. This is the honest truth. He can tell you the testimony. I think there's testimony on Andrew Womack's website about it. And Arthur said, but before I'm going to shoot myself, I'm going to tell God what I think of him. And he lashes out against God, man. He tell God everything under the sun that you can think of and call him everything. And then as he lashed out everything and screamed at God and begin to relax, God spoke to him. God said, Arthur, you need to get into my peace. And that made him mad. He kicked his Bible, let it fly through the air against the wall. And then he really went off. And he sat down and God said, Arthur, you don't have a clue what love and peace is. And that word changed his life. You think God get offended because of what we do wrong? You think God is too small to look after himself? God was never angry. He cannot get angry. It's impossible. It's the ultimate form of love and peace. unconditional love. See, the word agape come from the word agapu. In the Greek, it's two words, agu and apu. Agu means a shepherd, and apu means rest. The word unconditional love is rooted out of the reality of a shepherd who wants to lead you into rest. What do you think of that? And that's unconditional love. Doesn't matter what you do wrong. He just have one purpose. I'm going to keep on working with him until I get him in my rest. Where he can experience my abundant life. Where he can experience my love and have fellowship with me and my son. It's God's purpose for you. Isn't that awesome? Last two verses, I promise. Colossians 1, 12 to 13. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Say, I'm qualified. God qualify you. The highest form of authority. Qualify us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Isn't that beautiful? Last verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Therefore, beware, brethren, lest in any of you an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God. Jesus says, I come to give you life. I have come that you don't perish. I have come to establish your heart that you can rest in everlasting life. Isn't that awesome? For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That word saved does not mean for you to go one day to heaven. Well, you will end up there. That's what I'm talking. That word, it's sozo. It means to deliver you from sin, sickness, disease, from poverty, from destructive life, from everything that is here. That's what that word soteria means in the Greek. God right now wants to save you. He wants to save you from condemnation in your heart. Because if your heart is saved from condemnation, guess what? This amazing good news begins to reign in your heart. And good news is not based on something that's going to happen in the future. Good news is based on something that already happened. If you read the newspaper today, it is something that happened yesterday. Come on. News is not news if it's something in the future. That's a prophetic word. News is something that has happened. Good news is based on what God has already done for you. Establish your heart in that. Father, we thank you this morning for this beautiful people. Father, we thank you for all this treacherous, wonderful people that sit here. That has been conveyed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of your love. We thank you, Father, that you have a very amazing, special plan for each one of them. A purpose, a destiny. To live victorious in this life right now. To overcome whatever is bothering them in life. I thank you, Father, that all of us will come to that reality. That our hearts is completely renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit. So that we believe right and think right. And that our conscience is absolutely lined up with your kingdom. So that the thoughts that is coming from our conscience, that it witness to us who we really are and who you really are. We have an absolute understanding and a picture of a wonderful Father that loves us unconditionally. We praise you for that this morning, Father. Thank you that we are inseparable from your love. We thank you that this love is captivating our hearts. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have shed abroad the love of the Father in our hearts. And we praise you for that this morning. We give you glory. So that hope is a reality today. A constant expectation of good in every moment of our lives. Giving glory to you. Praise your name, Jesus. Amen.